Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. Coming up on today's show, we have several things to talk about because, of course, this is the show where we have longer conversations with the individuals who make things happen in Michigan's great Southwest, the folks who are in the know. We talk with them here on Our Take. And coming up on today's show, we'll chat with Lake Michigan College about their programs for veterans. You know, tomorrow's Veterans Day, and LMC was recently saluted by the state of Michigan for being a college that is good to veterans, friendly to veterans. And so we'll learn about some of the programs they have for students who enroll at LMC who have military backgrounds. We will learn about that on today's show. We'll also chat with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services to learn about an event they held recently to honor employers who hire disabled individuals. And they also honored disabled workers in the state of Michigan. They did this last week. We'll hear about that on today's show. We'll catch up with Michigan Gas Utilities. They are the gas company for a lot of people around Michigan's great Southwest. And they want to remind everyone there is no need to freeze this winter. If you have trouble paying your heating bill, Michigan Gas Utilities has a few solutions for you. We'll learn about that on today's show. And we'll close out the show, because it's Friday, we'll close out the show with a discussion of what's coming out at the box office this weekend. What's new at the cinema for you? And there's a couple of new options. I'll probably be at the movies this weekend. I'll have Jacob Holmes, our man in the dark, our local blockbuster expert, come in here, and we'll talk about that on today's show. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. Right now, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll chat with Lake Michigan College. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. Friday edition of the show. We had our first snow last night. I was surprised. I stepped outside last night to grab something from the car, and it was snowing. So here we are. It's the winter time. And coming up later on, we'll talk about your home heating options this winter if you have trouble paying your bill. Right now, though, because tomorrow is Veterans Day, I wanted to find out what's going on at Lake Michigan College, veteran-wise, because the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency recently recognized Lake Michigan College for its work to attract and accommodate veterans. LMC has been named a gold-level veteran-friendly school. So I caught up with Lake Michigan College Vice President of Student Engagement, Barbara Craig, and we talked a little bit about all the services that they offer for veterans at Lake Michigan College to make life easier to be a student there if you have a military background. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Barbara, so Lake Michigan College has been named a gold-level veteran-friendly school by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency.
For the second year in a row.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? What does this designation signify?
I'm hopeful that it signifies that we have our arms wide open to our heroes on their way home and to those who served in their past, and that we support all of those who wish to just improve the standard of their living and the living of their families. And that it shows that that even if it feels like it's a difficult thing to embark on a life-changing experience like education, that we can help them side by side with them every step of the way. That's what I hope it shows.
Hmm. And so what sorts of services does LMC offer to veterans?
We're a pretty student-friendly place anyway, obviously, but we want to make sure that they feel completely comfortable in their learning environment. So we go out of our way to make sure they have dedicated space where they can study and be together and mentor each other along the way. Of course, we make sure that they get in-district tuition. And we're very grateful for the support of the local community who has helped us with the Veterans Education Assistance Fund that can find ways to help veterans who are students overcome their barriers. So helping them with books or other costs associated with tutoring or other counseling and assistance. Sometimes their benefits take a little while to come in, and so we've got a way to cover them temporarily, and just all of that unanticipated stuff, transportation sometimes, just making life work, daycare, whatever it might be. Our veterans have every different shape and size and background and hope and aspiration. So we try to just be there with them for whatever they might need us for.
Okay, and so what you just touched on, now there are specific sort of challenges that veterans might face when they enter the academic world.
It's ironic, isn't it? Because we often are in meetings with local employers and industry leaders who are looking for exactly the kind of things that many veterans provide. You know, people have a strong work ethic and the ability to problem solve and work as a team. And we know that our veterans can offer that. But yes, we don't know what journey some of them have been on. And it might be just too much of an emotional challenge or a psychological challenge or sometimes even a physical challenge for them to be able to come to class every day and do all of the homework that's part of being a successful student. And so whatever it is that we can help them with, the ironic thing is, though, they've got life experience that really enriches our classroom and I think helps other students learn about life and about learning from them, too. I know our other students respect and appreciate the mentoring and tutoring they get from our veterans who are on campus.
Great. You know, you actually just answered my next question. I was going to say.
I wondered about that.
Yeah. What benefits do veterans bring? All right. So we've been talking with Barbara Craig of Lake Michigan College. She is the Vice President of Student Engagement. LMC was recently named a gold-level veteran-friendly school by the State Veterans Affairs Agency. Barbara, is there anything else you'd like to add about veterans or the things LMC is willing to do for them to make life easier when they enroll?
That we just offer lots of good options for people. Doesn't matter if they are trying to decide which path they want to take or if they know exactly that they want to come in and get it done and get out. The Hanson Technology Center is vibrant with people of all different backgrounds and in going lots of different places. And it's great to see learning happen with all of our different kinds of students.
Okay, that was Barbara Craig with Lake Michigan College. This Veterans Day is tomorrow. Lake Michigan College currently has 154 veterans enrolled for 2017. Barbara was telling us, second year in a row, LMC's been named a gold-level veteran-friendly school by the state. You can find out more information about the services that they offer to veterans. They have a website set up for that. You know what? You should Google Lake Michigan College Veterans WSJM, and you'll find the story with the link because it's a bit long. But they offer special services to those who have served, and I appreciate Barbara's time. And, of course, I appreciate all the service of our fine veterans here in Michigan's great Southwest. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, I thought I'd tell you quickly about something that happened yesterday around Berrien and Cass counties. Speaking of service, this was something the United Way did yesterday. If you happen to be driving around in a neighborhood and you saw people in orange shirts cleaning out gutters or picking up leaves, what you saw were United Way volunteers doing something to help out senior citizens as the winter begins. They were preparing folks for the winter, and so this is their annual day of action. It's specifically called the Rake a Difference, United Way Rake a Difference Day of Action for Seniors. They've been doing this for 7 years now. And I caught up with United Way's Julie Laurent to learn more about some of the things that were going on yesterday. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Julie, it's the United Way's Day of Action, Rake a Difference, the Day of Many Rakes. Tell us more about what United Way volunteers have been doing throughout the day.
Well, United Way volunteers have been doing some very important work. They are cleaning gutters and raking leaves for seniors. Now, this Day of Action is important on so many levels. First and foremost, it accomplishes seemingly small jobs that seniors aren't able to do themselves. But on a bigger scale, getting this work done really helps seniors who want to stay in their homes by doing the preventative seasonal work that maintains the integrity of, like, their gutter system. For example, if ice froze in the gutter and tore it off the side, that's an expense that somebody on a fixed income can't really take on. So this work, it helps in a much bigger, broader scope than I think people see just when you're out there doing it in the immediate moment.
All right, so how much of an impact can these United Way volunteers actually make?
United Way volunteers are making a huge impact today, and then we still also have all the student United Way volunteers going out on Saturday. We have served, when this is all said and done, we will have served 225 seniors and had about 700 volunteers all out in the community wearing their orange shirts and looking like one big 700-person team.
Okay, so the United Way's Rake a Difference Day of Action was yesterday, and Julie was telling me a bit about some of what the volunteers were doing and why. And they had more volunteers last year than the year before, so it's growing. Seventh year they've done this. So I remarked to her, I said, it is amazing to see the number of people who will come out to help. I mean, we're talking more than 700 people here.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, we've gone through, I want to say, about 600 packets of the leaf bags. And I didn't think we'd go through so many because, you know, we haven't had that much leaf foliage. But last night, I guess they all kind of came down with the cold weather, so they've been really filling them up.
All right, we're talking with the United Way's Julie Laurent about the Rake a Difference Day of Action, which was yesterday. Julie, anything else you want to add? I know that there's several sponsors for this event that you wanted to thank.
So this year, we have great sponsors. Our presenting sponsors are French Paper and the McLaughlin Family Foundation, but also we had great help from Andrews University, Silver Beach Pizza, Hastings Mutual Insurance, Horizon Bank, Hanson Logistics, Kemner IOT, Niles Precision Company, Chemical Bank, Lindbergh MPH, Modnier Insurance Management Services, Plant Moran, and Vail Rubber.
Okay, that's the United Way right there. United Way of Southwest Michigan, they raked a difference. They raid a difference yesterday. It was the United Way's senior day of action. Volunteers all over Berrien and Cass counties raking leaves and cleaning out gutters for senior citizens. I know there were a bunch of volunteers from Midwest Family Broadcasting who took part. They were sending out photos of their activities yesterday. And so I appreciate Julie's time, and I appreciate the time of the United Way of Southwest Michigan raking a difference for so many people. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. It's time for a break once again on this Friday edition of the show. We're almost there. We've got like a half hour to go, and then the day's over for a lot of us. Coming up on the next segment, we will catch up with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. They do things to help out the disabled, and then they also encourage businesses and individuals to do the same. They recently held an event to honor businesses that hire disabled individuals, and they also honored those disabled individuals. There was a Southwest Michigan company that was honored as part of this. Next segment, we'll talk about that, and we'll also catch up with Michigan gas utilities. Now that it is winter, we've got snow falling. They'll tell us about how you can make paying your home heating bills this winter a little easier on yourself. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. I'm your host. My name is Andrew Green. If you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. Stick around, and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the Hour Take. I am your host. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for this Friday edition of the show. Last segment, we talked with Lake Michigan College about what they do to help out veterans, because tomorrow is Veterans Day. And don't forget, there is a Veterans Day ceremony at 10 a.m. at the Whitcomb in St. Joe tomorrow if you want to go and salute those who have served. We also talked to the United Way's Julie Laurent about their day of action yesterday. There were 700 volunteers for the United Way out and about, running around all over Michigan's great Southwest, raking leaves for people. So we appreciate their fine work. Right now, I thought we would talk with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. This is the state health department. Recently, about a week ago, they held a ceremony in Lansing where they honored companies that hire disabled individuals, and they also honored those individuals themselves. They wanted to thank everyone who appreciates the skills of disabled workers. Among the companies that were honored was Perrigo in Allegan. So I caught up with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, Bob Wheaton, to talk with him about this and a little bit more about the Michigan Rehabilitation Services Business Network Division. So let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Bob, tell us more about who the state has honored this month and why.
The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services within our department is the Michigan Rehabilitation Services. Mm-hmm. And Michigan Rehabilitation Services provides assistance to individuals who have disabilities either to enter the workforce or to remain in the workforce by working with them to remove any barriers to them being able to be employed. So every year, Michigan Rehabilitation Services has a ceremony to honor people who have worked so that people with disabilities can share their talents with employers by becoming employed. So they honor They honor some of the individuals with disabilities who have attained employment. They honor the employers who have provided opportunities for individuals with disabilities to work there. And they honor other partners who are involved in trying to help remove barriers for people with disabilities so that they can share their talents by entering the workforce.
Hmm. And how big of a problem is it? How much more difficult is it for somebody with a disability to find work? Do they sort of get discriminated against?
There certainly are times where there can be challenges for somebody who has a disability. So what our Michigan Rehabilitation Services does is try to work with employers to help them realize that there's a lot of individuals with disabilities that have a lot of talent and have a lot of abilities, and that could be utilized in the workplace, and work with those businesses so that they can see that and give people a chance to work.
All right, and there are plenty of employers around the state of Michigan that were honored at this event held in Lansing last week.
Yes, we had a number of employers that were honored at this event as well. Oakland County government for their hiring of individuals with disabilities. Delton Family Pharmacy, which is in the Upper Peninsula, TJ Maxx, and Perrigo, which is in Allegan.
Okay, so that's Perrigo, the Allegan-based drug maker. They're one of the organizations saluted by the state.
Yeah, Perrigo was honored, and Rebecca Harrington, who's talent acquisition manager, and Elisa Carrasco, who's a human resources manager for Perrigo, were the honorees. And Perrigo, as people there may know, is a healthcare company that has its North American operations located in Allegan. And Perrigo has really fully embraced diversity efforts and has sought the support of the Michigan Rehabilitation Services Business Network Division to help make kind of a cultural shift company-wide as far as employing individuals with disabilities. And we've just found that Perrigo is really dedicated to leading the way for including individuals with disabilities in their workplace. And through Michigan Rehabilitation Services, the Perrigo team in Allegan is connected to a national employment team to try to make sure that other states with where Perrigo is located follow suit and develop these kinds of partnerships that are needed with local vocational rehabilitation agencies who prepare individuals with disabilities to work.
And, you know, when you go to the events like the one that happened last week, honoring these companies and these individuals, it must be striking to hear the stories of some individuals who overcome adversity.
Yeah, we always hear some really inspiring stories. It's people who have a great desire to work and often have wonderful talents to utilize, and we just want to make sure that they have an opportunity for employers to be willing to take a look at those talents that they have, and sharing some of these success stories hopefully will convince other employers to provide a full opportunity for individuals with disabilities to be considered for positions in their companies.
Okay, that was the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, Bob Wheaton, telling me about the event they held last week to salute companies that hire disabled workers as part of the Michigan Rehabilitation Services Business Network Division. They get together once a year and discuss these issues. I appreciate Bob's time. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now it's time to talk about your home heating options this winter. You know, it started snowing last night. I woke up to snow today, and so the winter is here, and that means your energy bills are about to go up. So Michigan Gas Utilities, which is the gas company for a lot of people around here, they put out word this week that there are things people can do to improve their home heating situation during the winter. If you're having trouble paying your bill, they don't want you to freeze or not pay your bill. There are better options. There are ways to ease the pain of paying your home heating bills this winter. So I've got Matt Cullen. I talked with him about what's available. Matt, tell us more about what Michigan Gas customers can do if they struggle with their home heating bills this winter.
Sure. Well, we would like to remind customers to check their eligibility to receive energy assistance and credits as the winter heating season gets set to begin. Those energy assistance funds are distributed by the State Department of Health and Human Services and the State Department of Treasury, and they receive federal funding to provide that energy assistance.
So how is qualification for energy assistance determined?
Well, there are the energy assistance is based in part on income levels, and there's four programs in particular that we would like our customers to know about and to, if they're interested in energy assistance, to check out. And those programs are the Home Heating Credit, the Michigan Energy Assistance Program, the Weatherization Assistance Program, and the State Emergency Relief Program.
Okay, some of those are federal programs, some of those are state programs, a lot of them are income dependent, but even somebody with a low income might run into trouble paying their bill. What should they do?
The key point to remember is that if customers are having difficulty paying natural gas bills, they should contact us right away. You know, we make every effort to assist our customers and help them pay their natural gas bills. You know, we can work with them on payment arrangements or direct them on how to apply and how to receive energy assistance. But the most important thing is that they reach out to us again if they're having difficulty paying their natural gas bills.
All right, the last thing you want to do is just not pay.
Correct. You know, certainly, again, our employees are willing to work with our customers however they may be able to. Again, they offer those payment arrangements and can help them to locate those resources that will help them receive energy assistance in their area.
All right, so you can get a payment arrangement with Michigan Gas. You can get on a payment plan. I did that once when I had high heating bills in this place where I lived. You can spread out your payments throughout the year if you have to. Yeah, Consumers Energy offers the same thing. And also, for those with low incomes, the United Way has several services that you can access.
Correct. And that's the United Way 211 number is the number that customers who would like to learn more or perhaps receive energy assistance through the Michigan Energy Assistance Program, or MEEP, that's the number that customers should call if they're interested in that program and receiving energy assistance.
And of course, Michigan Gas has a website where you list a lot of this information.
Our website does contain information on all of these different energy assistance programs. So there's a section that says financial and energy assistance on our website. If you go under the Your Home tab at the top of our website, or they can also check out the Department of Health and Human Services website, and that has more information as well, and also contains links to where residents can print or fill out application forms for assistance.
All right. That was Matt Cullen with Michigan Gas Utilities reminding everyone there's no need to freeze in the winter if you have trouble paying your bill. Call Michigan Gas if you're not going to be able to make your bill for the month. They will arrange something. You can also dial 211. That's a service offered by the United Way. If you have a low income, they will connect you with ways to improve your situation there. Also, you know, winterizing your home always helps. We talked about that earlier this week on the show. That's something that the Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency will help you do if you call them. So no need to freeze this winter. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now, I have a quick update on something we discussed yesterday. I told you yesterday about the State Senate. It passed legislation this week allowing people to carry concealed weapons into schools and bars and other places where you're not currently allowed to do so. And this legislation was passed pretty quickly, actually, in the state Senate. Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekhoff actually said, you know, this could help make these places safer. We've seen these mass shooting situations. Maybe there should be concealed weapons allowed in places like schools. I don't know about bars, though, but anyway. So this bill has gone on to the state house. Now, Michigan News Network looked into this, and their Lansing Bureau Chief Tim Skubick, who you've probably heard before, he chatted with Michigan News Network about the chances that this could actually happen, that this bill could be signed into law. Tim Skubick has told us Governor Rick Snyder has indicated he's probably not going to sign this bill. His specific quote is the Senate action, quote, "It really hasn't changed my position."
That is code for, this is not moving the ball in my direction, and therefore there might be that veto. He has not said that, but basically it looks like he's headed in that direction, despite what the House may do.
Lansing political expert there, Tim Skubick, saying Governor Rick Snyder has actually been silent on this bill, which to me kind of came out of nowhere. It was introduced this week and passed in the Senate this week.
He does not say he would veto this, but here's what he did say. "It hasn't really changed my position," referring to the Senate-passed legislation. Quote, "I don't see any real changes from where we were." That is code for, this is not moving the ball in my direction.
So as the State House prepares to consider this plan that would allow concealed weapons in places where they are currently banned, including schools, that's MNN's Tim Skubick there saying, the governor probably veto it, even if it passes. The governor has vetoed similar bills in the past. If this concerns you, I wouldn't worry too much. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. It's time for a break. When we come back, I'll fill you in on the Dune project that they held a ribbon cutting for yesterday in South Haven. And then we'll talk about the movies, because this is Friday. If you'd like to weigh in on something we discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, Friday edition of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I've been the host again today. My name is Andrew Green. So far on today's show, you know, we've been talking a lot about service today. First of all, we talked about Lake Michigan College and what they do for veterans. Don't forget, tomorrow is Veterans Day, so salute a veteran. And Lake Michigan College was recently honored by the state for all the services that they offer to veterans, to students who have military backgrounds. We learned about that on today's show. We also chatted with the United Way about their Rake a Difference Day of Action yesterday. It was the United Way's annual Day of Many Rakes. They raked yards for seniors and also cleaned out their gutters. We appreciate their fine work. We also talked with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services about companies in Michigan's Great Southwest that do things to help out the disabled. And last segment, we talked about Michigan Gas and their programs to help folks who cannot pay their home heating bills this winter. Right now, I thought I'd give you an update on something that I discussed yesterday. I was telling you about this project that they were holding a ribbon cutting for yesterday. It was a dune restoration project in South Haven. Specifically, this is a Syndicate Park. Van Buren County recently got a grant to restore this dune property over there. The county worked with the Michigan Southwest Michigan Planning Commission on this. So at yesterday's ribbon cutting, we were told by Marcy Hamilton, a senior planner with the Southwest Michigan Planning Commission, exactly what was going on.
So today we were out taking a look at Syndicate Park, which is here in South Haven Township, and it's some property about 20 acres that's owned by Van Buren County, and we're out looking at a project we're just finishing up with some grant money from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality.
Van Buren County awarded a grant in 2014 for engineering and design of that dune restoration project, which was unveiled yesterday. Marcy was telling us the goals of the project are to slow down and stabilize the advancing dune. It was actually threatening nearby residential properties. And Marcy told us more about that.
The grant basically has paid to restore the dunes. They have been impacted by human use, and so to restore the area, we've closed a bunch of the trails and improved one trail, so there still is public access. But the rest of the property is fenced off, and we put a bunch of dune grass plantings and some shrub plantings to try to stabilize the dunes and restore the ecosystem of the dunes there.
That Syndicate Park in South Haven Township, they held a ribbon cutting yesterday on the restoration project. Southwest Michigan Planning Commission's Marcy Hamilton told us more about why you need to preserve dunes and how they can be fragile.
Dunes are a very dynamic ecosystem. Dunes are always kind of moving and changing, and a lot of that has to do with the storms, especially. They move a lot more during stormy weather, waves, and all that sand is blowing around. And so the more we can get the dune more vegetated with dune grass, that'll help keep that sand in place.
So there have been signs erected to direct people to stay on the designated trails at the Syndicate Park Dune. And that's actually the rule that they apply to dunes everywhere. They don't want people climbing all over on them because they can be fragile. They want to preserve the vegetation that holds these dunes together. And yesterday, that's Southwest Michigan Planning Commission celebrating the completion of the Syndicate Park Dune Restoration Project. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. To wrap up today's show, because it's Friday, I thought we'd talk about what's coming out at the cinema this weekend. I can often be found at the movies on the weekend, and so can my pal Jacob Holmes, our man in the dark. We always spend the final segment of Friday's show talking about the latest options at the cinema. Jacob, come on in. All right, Jacob, so it is Friday.
That it is.
Which means a weekend, and a lot of people will be going to the movies.
Yeah, it's gotten much colder out now. You want to sit in the nice, comfy spot of a movie theater.
Hopefully they've turned off the air conditioning.
I would hope so.
So when we look at our theater here in Benton Harbor, of course, we have Celebration Cinema. There are other theaters in the area, of course, but what's new this weekend?
Well, the big new movie this weekend is Murder on the Orient Express. This is one of the more star-studded movies to come out this year. It's based on the Agatha Christie novel of the same name, one of her more famous stories.
Right.
Directed and stars Kenneth Branagh.
Okay.
So it's a new Kenneth Branagh movie. And basically the story of this movie is Kenneth Branagh plays one of the world's greatest detectives, Hercule Poirot,
right.
which was a recurring character in Christie stories. Mm-hmm. And they're on the Orient Express with all these different passengers of different origins, and somebody is murdered on the train.
Right.
And the train gets stuck because of an avalanche, so the train is stalled, and so they got to solve the murder. And everybody on the train is a suspect. It's one of those stories.
Right. It's a classic murder mystery sort of story. Whodunit?
And this is not the first time this story has been adapted for.
Oh, no.
No. It was in the 70s. It was another star-studded big movie and very well regarded as far mm-hmm. as I'm aware. I've never seen it. Then it was made as a TV movie in the early 2000s. And then it was a BBC series called Agatha Christie's Poirot or something, a series based on this character, and that was one of the episodes. So this is not the first time it's been done, but the cast for this is incredible. And in addition to Kenneth Branagh, you got, I'm just going off the top of my head, Josh Gad is in this.
Okay.
Judi Dench.
Okay, perfect.
Daisy Ridley from the new Star Wars movies is in it. She's proving herself to be a pretty good actress.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie Odom Jr. from the biggest thing he's done was Hamilton. He played Aaron Burr, and Johnny Depp is in this. And
right,
I want to say Michelle Pfeiffer is in it as well. I think that's right.
I mean, it sounds right. I've gotten the trailer for this
several times. They've advertised this movie's been advertised heavily, and you know, Kenneth Branagh is one of those directors who you either really love his movies or you don't necessarily hate them. It's just. He's kind of an acquired taste or something. He's very, very big on spectacle. He goes big for his movies.
Right.
I believe the last movie he did was the live action Cinderella for Disney, and that movie is just pure spectacle.
I never saw that one. I've seen a few movies from him. Didn't he do a Frankenstein?
Yes, he did Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the one that starred himself and Robert De Niro back in 1994.
That's not a bad movie, actually.
No, and he's done a couple of Shakespeare adaptations too, because that's what he's Shakespearean. He's a Shakespearean actor.
I am sort of curious about Johnny Depp being in this Murder on the Orient Express because he so badly needs a film that does well.
Yes, but I mean he's not the main character of this story. But critics are kind of going along that lines of, yeah, you either really like it or it's just kind of, it's all right. The main thing I've heard about this is that it's big on the visual, big on the spectacle, and the cast is amazing. It's just it's kind of a hard juggling act for a cast this large.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it looks all right to me. It looks like it could be a play.
And I'm sure it was. I mean, yeah, Agatha Christie stuff has always been adapted to stuff like that. So it's, if you're in the mood for a good, solid murder mystery, you can't go wrong with an Agatha Christie. I mean.
All right. And I know that there's a comedy that's out this
week. Yes. So last weekend we had a Christmas-themed comedy sequel with Bad Moms Christmas. Well, guess what? We got another one this weekend.
This one's with the fellas.
Yes. This one's for the guys. Well, not necessarily for the guys. This one's being marketed more towards families. It's Daddy's Home 2.
Oh, boy.
The sequel to 2015's Daddy's Home starring Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
They're reprising the characters from this movie. Will Ferrell plays the stepdad to Mark Wahlberg's kids, and they're best friends now after the events of the first movie. But this movie adds in their respective fathers. Mm-hmm. Will Ferrell's dad, played by John Lithgow, and Mark Wahlberg's dad, played by Mel Gibson.
Okay, so that's the twist to this movie. You've got the two dads,
right? The dads of the dads,
right? And it's Mel Gibson, who I gotta say I do like.
Yeah, he's a pretty solid actor, and he can. I mean. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's with his history,
right? And John Lithgow, who's just fine. I've always liked him fine enough.
Yeah, he's a really good actor.
So this sounds like it's the same thing as the first Daddy's Home, but
exactly. It's the first Daddy's Home made a ton of money, and this just says to me just studio sequel.
Right. So there you go. There's that option. Now there's another new movie playing locally. Correct?
Right. It's not necessarily brand new, but it's new to the. It was one of those like limited release, and now it's out everywhere. This is
Marshall.
Marshall. Thank you. It's about Thurgood Marshall, the first African American Supreme Court justice. But it's about it's about his earlier life. One of his first cases as a lawyer.
Huh. And, interesting.
Yeah, and Chadwick Boseman plays Thurgood Marshall, and I love Chadwick Boseman. He's amazing.
You know who else is in this movie?
No, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Josh Gad.
That's so right. Josh Gad is in two new movies this weekend. I remember now.
Yeah, it also has Kate Hudson, and
that's right.
That's about everyone whose names I recognize. So this is the story of a young Thurgood Marshall.
Right, and this movie's gotten some good praise. I don't know about any awards buzz, but it. It sounds like a very solid, true life story. You can't really go wrong with that. Nice little historical piece.
All right, so you have that option. Now, have you seen Thor yet?
No, I have not, but I am seeing it this weekend, and I cannot wait.
All right, well, I won't spoil it for you, even though I didn't see it.
Well, I already know how Murder on the Orient Express ends, so.
Yeah, I think I know how that ends as well. But, okay, and anything else worth seeing this weekend that's just been out? Any recommendations?
I see we still got like one showtime for Blade Runner 2049. So if you haven't seen that yet, please do go see that on as big a screen as possible.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And then of course there's Thor. Next weekend is Justice League.
Okay. I have to admit, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, I am too. I want to see it, but the marketing for this movie has not really done anything for me.
I just know I'm going to be disappointed. That's the problem.
I have no idea what to expect, honestly, because of all the stuff that happened in post-production with Zack Snyder leaving after his daughter unfortunately passed away, and Joss Whedon taking over and them doing a whole bunch of rewrites and reshoots and him overseeing that. So I'm really interested in how this movie's going to turn out. And it's also going to be the shortest of all these DC movies. It's under 2 hours long.
Oh, wow, really?
And apparently that was mandated by the studio.
Well, that makes me feel somewhat better. So Justice League is next week. I like Batman. I like Superman, The Flash.
Wonder Woman.
I love Wonder Woman, and I even like Aquaman.
Yeah, and Cyborg.
All right, so that's what we got to look forward to next week. Jacob, thanks for coming in and talking with us.
Thanks again for having me, as always.
All right, that's your weekly box office preview, and that does it for another edition and another week of Our Take. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for being with us. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we have discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. We should be back on Monday, same time, same station. In the meantime, have a fantastic and very safe weekend.